The Ouch podcast is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/ouch.
You're so special, we've made a podcast for you. Disabled people can have fun too. They can do anything we can do. Say thank you to the BBC. Try your eyes and listen in to people just like you.
Hello, I'm Liz Carr.
And I'm Matt Fraser. How are you doing?
Welcome to another podcast.
Yes, you're very, very welcome.
Yes.
Oh, blimey.
It's really, we've got a lot this month. Yeah. Very excited.
But should we just say, what? Wasn't that a hell of a presidential election?
Wow, wasn't it? I can't believe that.
I know, the result.
Got in.
Isn't that incredible?
Oh, wow.
Who would have thought it?
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe we should do the menu.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Go on.
On this month's Ouch.
Excuse me. Hey, we forgot our IDs and we were wondering if you could do us a favor and buy us a six-pack.
You know, what you're asking is illegal.
No, it's not.
Meet R.J. Mitter, I think that's how it's pronounced, from gritty US drama series Breaking Bad, currently showing on FX. He plays 16-year-old Walter. Like his character, he's got cerebral palsy, and our researcher Gideon can't get enough of it. He'll be on the line to us from
Albuquerque. Away from the glamour, we're going to be talking about money and, wait for it, assisted suicide. We will be talking about other things.
On the flip side of suicide, we have the celebration of life that is vegetable, vegetable or vegetable, our quiz.
Big Brother's Mikey will be joining us shortly with a look at some of the disability headlines this month. And tell us about the music, Matt.
Well, we'll be playing out with a track from disabled Aussie band MSG, who are part of the wonderfully named Tralala Blip Collective.
The sweetest flavoured ice cream truck comes driving round our street.
Wow, that sounds pretty good. That was good. Kind of like Cher on vocals there. But also, I should say, and also, ladies and gentlemen, nice. We have got the Black Crippling Crew in California to hear about a new disability music radio show starting this month.
We're on the web on our shiny new website. Wow. bbc.co.uk/ouch. Spread the word. You can see photos and videos of this month's show, not to mention thousands of articles, cartoons, message boards and blah like that.
Yeah, it really is a spankingly new, reinvented website of excellence.
It is indeed. So do go by and have a look. Well,
what? Oh, look at you.
I know, I've got something for
Come on,
you.
Then.
Are you scared?
I always scared when you look at me like
okay,
that.
Okay, hold
Liz.
On. I'm going to rustle in my bag.
A bit of audio description. She's I know what you've got. I reckon
oh, do you?
No, well, you've got me a present. It looks like a bag of crisps.
It is. No,
but
it's
I know
not.
What it is because I've seen that another colour. It's a bag of crisps. That's right. Now, hold on. Thank you. Okay, listeners, it's literally a bag of what looks like crisps or chips, as you might say in New Zealand or America. What do they call them there?
Potato chips.
And it says crisps, C-R-I-P-S, sea salt and cracked black pepper, lovingly baked.
I like what... they are a bit average, but I like what Vaughan said on the message board. He said, obviously not made by Walkers. Do you think?
Oh, sorry, I get it now.
He's just got it. Production team think it's funny.
It is funny, but I was momentarily transported to a magnificent place of taste sensation with the new Crips.
Really?
Now,
that took you away from Vaughan, the producer's clever comment.
No, what I'm subtly, Liz, in case you hadn't guessed, trying to do is that we, the Ouch co-presenters of the podcast, should become the people who advertise Crips.
Can you imagine? Actually, there are other potato and wheat and whatever products available.
Oh God, it's all
however,
very blue
none
pizza.
Of them are called Crips. But I had a bag of spastics and they were delicious.
Ka-ching! I knew there'd be a punchline somewhere. I was waiting a long time, but we got there eventually.
Okay, so what have you been up to? Come on.
Well, last night I did one of my favourite things to do, which is I entertained at a learning disabled club, the Bubble Club. It's a club put together by the MAP Squad down the East End of London, a learning club, as we call them in the business. And it was Halloween night. Now, Have you been to a disability stroke learning disabled event on Halloween, Liz?
No, unfortunately I haven't.
Picture the scene. Lots of people whose natural way of ambulating would be a little shuffly, large, lumbering people. Like all that. Dressed as zombies and what have you. You know, horror films and the learning disabled community start to blur. You're doing the dance from Thriller because that was the highlight. it was the highlight.
Can I actually see you do it? Okay, so now
shall we? Come on, let's get Gideon in. We'll put it on a little MPEG of Liz and Mac doing the scene, the dance from the zombie dance.
They're raising
Thriller,
our arms, zombie-like.
And that
up
comedic one. But what happened was I got to Thriller because I did Monster. You like that one, didn't you, Liz?
I do.
I did Fire by Arthur Brown. A little bit scary, that one. And several other, you know.
We are Fire Hazards.
Devil in Disguise, Witchcraft, all the classics to do with Halloween. And then we did Thriller. Now, A, Michael Jackson's voice is bloody high. Mm-hmm. I'm not altogether sure mine was a success. But I had five learning disabled people. One guy going, for 30 minutes without stopping. Edward, the Down syndrome sex bomb dancer, who kept putting his hand down his front like, I'm so hot. And that was very funny. And then I had Gemma the Witch and Lily the Witch, who we renamed Lilith for obvious reasons, it being Halloween. They were both dressed as full witches from pointy hat, skirt, broom, the old bloody lot, and were doing the stuff from Thriller. It was great.
I haven't been to that event, obviously, but I did go to a Halloween party this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What was it like?
The theme, it was fancy dress. The theme was Creatures of the Night.
And so with Jo?
There were about 18 witches there, and then there was us. And we were a bit creative, and we were thinking, what can it be, Creatures of the Night, right? We were going to go as sign zone interpreters, right?
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was... Well, you know, because in the middle of the night, that's the only time they have programmes on that are interpreted.
Very clever.
Right? So we thought about that. But then Joe said, yeah, exactly, what about the test card? Now, if you're old enough and you're from the UK, you'll know that when the programmes used to go off and be off on the BBC, there used to be this test card.
It was a scary image. I always found it quite scary.
Well, it's a young girl in a headband, long hair and whatever, a chalkboard, they're playing tic-tac-toe, noughts and crosses, and then there's a clown.
Oh, clowns.
So
evil people.
I went as the clown.
Oh, you went as the clown.
I went as the clown.
So Jo was the girl.
She was the girl in a dress. She never really worn a dress.
Ooh.
And
any chance of the website putting the photo up?
They
have
are
you got
fantastic.
A photo?
They are fantastic.
God, I want to see that.
Yes. But it's been quite a good month, because I've been doing a fancy dress. I've still been doing a lot of cookery. I also got a new pair of slippers. Oh, winter's coming. This is rock star. But you know you're living quite a weird life when one of the things that you have to ask your PA is to go and buy a clown's nose and some chicken livers. So
have you turned into a Satanist as well as a lesbian?
No, I'm cooking. I'm doing loads. I'm loving cookery.
Okay. Okay, fine.
That's enough, isn't it?
No, it's fine. I'm all into cookery. Obviously, chicken livers turns my stomach a little, being a vegetarian. Mm. But fine, I'm sure they were delicious and extremely good for your colon, Liz.
No, great, loving it. So,
That's good. Mm. It's nice that you can get the little pleasures in life.
It is.
Because, you know, anyway.
No.
Oh, dear.
Not for you. You got any new slippers?
New slippers, no. I got a new leather kilt. Well, I was in Expectations, my favourite gay fetish shop, having my little leather pouch. You know my little leather pouch that I have for my little hands and the money? Well, I get a new one every year. And I was in there and looking around thinking, oh, that looks nice. And found myself, for some reason, thinking I would look good in a leather mini kilt. And I bought one. It's funny what you do when you're in a shop, isn't it, sometimes?
It is. That does remind me of scary fancy dress, fireworks. Are you doing anything? Will you be bobbing for apples?
Bobbing for apples? I won't be. Have you ever bobbed for apples?
You know what?
And how would you do it, Liz?
So bobbing for apples, bowl of water, apples in it. You can't use your hands. Not like that really affects either of us.
No.
And you kind of drown yourself, don't you?
Trying to fish things out with your mouth.
I can't reach.
That's quite familiar to a lot of disabled people.
I've got to get my PA to hold the bowl up to my face
to
make it accessible because I don't bend. So that's not much fun.
I've had people holding the bowl up to my face before, but it was a different situation.
Oh, stop it now. And don't you find, because we've got fireworks, we've got Guy Fawkes. And
I hate them.
I've
turned into an old man.
Yeah, you've been that way a long time.
Yeah, I know. All I think about is my poor cats who are terrified. I always stay in. Now I have to stay in from October the 31st through Diwali to November the 5th, Guy Fawkes night.
I can't.
There's a constant fireworks fest for 2 weeks.
Have you ever used sparklers? Don't you find that whole...
Have you seen the scars on my head, please? It's a nightmare waiting to happen. Thalidomides with fireworks.
If we go to a
Half the children I ever meet when I see it with fireworks are like, did something happen to you with fireworks? No, that was a bad
Halloween
joke.
Fancy dress. Why do we even bother wearing costume? We should just go as ourselves.
It's like that scene in Mask, isn't it? Where they... No, it's not much like that. Are they disablest, fireworks?
Okay, why?
It's went horrible
then. No. Well, Catherine Wheel. That's accessible.
Yeah, I suppose it is. The Jumping yeah. Jack was the one I always used to like.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
No, old. They were banned when Health and Safety came in. Bangers. Did you remember the Tough Kids who'd hold the banger at arm's length?
Okay, most of our listeners aren't now this old. We're not going back to the 50s.
Do you remember Lamb Chop, the black and white children's televisual series? Actually, I did know a thalidomide person with short arms that tried doing that holding the banger at arm's length thing.
The Ouch Podcast!
Speaking of bizarrely dressed disabled people, who's that yes. we spy over on the other side of the table?
It's news junkie and former Big Brother contestant. It's Michael Hughes. Hello, Mikey.
Twitch. Hi, Matt. Hi, Liz. Thanks for having me in the studio today. You know, I've actually got my hand on a cup of water.
No.
Because Matt kindly reminded me that I was going to tip it over. Then I put it on the floor, but I seem to offend you guys because I've got long arms to stretch down to the floor
Look
to pick
you.
It up. And Liz, you ordered me to put it back in the table.
Long arms, as we can see, Mikey,
yes.
yeah.
So would you like to reach for a crib?
Would
you like to try a crib?
A crack.
Follow the noise. Follow the noise.
Follow that. Follow Do you know what? Give it to
Matt's
me. Give them to me. Give them to
Matt,
me.
Matt, any
I've got them now. Do you know where they are now?
Oh,
are your arms this long?
Blind faith on the radio. He's having a crib, ladies and gentlemen.
Sniffing like a little rabbit sniffing a carrot.
So is that the first crib that you've eaten,
Mikey? It is. Where did you get these from? They're specially imported.
No, they're from the UK. They are. They're English. English cribs. Yes, they are. Well, I don't know if they're UK cribs.
Well, we all know that English disabled people are the best. But coming up shortly, I'll tell you about a guy in Canada who's disabled. He's having a bit of trouble.
Hey, hold your horses, will you? Or should I say hold your bunny ears? Why are you dressed like this? You've got white bunny ears on, Mikey.
I had two kind of problems this year for Halloween. Obviously, in the Big Brother house, within a few days, I dressed up as a bunny girl for Mario's stag do. But I was also thinking about dressing up as a zombie, because there's a big zombie revival, and of course I took part in the Thriller Task in the Big Brother house and dressed up as a zombie, and I can't wait later on, Matt and Liz, to do the zombie dance with you.
Will you teach us?
I'll teach you.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, it's been a few months back now, and I did...
I'm just hearing from the producer. We're going to film it and put it on the website.
Oh, well, you know, I forgot some of the moves. I don't want to embarrass myself.
We won't be able to do most of the moves.
I wouldn't think you'll be the most embarrassed.
I think blind people are ideal for zombies, because, to be honest, I live in a zombie-ized state all day long.
Well, as do a lot of people. Do you like this link? This is a clever link, okay? Because we've been looking at the news stories that you're going to talk to us about. Apparently, Mikey, if you can't find a public loo, it's the fault of disabled people. What?
It's always the fault of disabled people. Apparently, it's a Commons committee, and they've investigated this. Apparently, local councils are shutting down loos, and they're claiming they're shutting down the loos because they can't make disabled loos accessible. It's costing too much money. So they say if they've got a loo and it's not accessible, then under the DDA, they can't have the loo. And I love it when the British Toilet Association get involved.
Not the BTA.
They always get their ebb in when loos are involved. And they're saying this is absolute nonsense. Disabled people should be able to go into accessible loos. And can you believe the British Standards Institute are actually looking at a way to make loos generic and standardised for all disabled people? Because I don't know about you, but every time I go into a disabled loo, it's a different layout.
I guess it is.
Well, yeah, it is. I really don't go in there that often. I only go in when I have to, pull rank.
I don't know why. It's a bit like, Mikey, do you want to go into the men's? And I go, no. But I'm going into the
You're an angry man, Mikey.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, this standardisation is important. I'm not, you know what?
Until it is important, yes.
Because, you know, you need to know if you're a disabled person, whatever your impairment, that you could get on the loo, or, you know, that everything's where it is, I guess, if you're a blind person.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, basically, because I'm blind, I can only go into loos with gloves on, because now I need to scale a greasy, smelly wall to find where the toilet paper
is.
But
I've got this vision now of you putting, like nice, dapper little white gloves on, you know.
I have got white gloves in my bag to go for my bunny girl outfit.
I thought maybe you would. So basically, because of us, that's why most lifts smell of wee, because that's where non-disabled people have to go.
Well,
now,
apparently somebody was saying that disabled people are at risk of peeing in the street because there's no accessible loos. Now, I don't know if you remember in the Big Brother house, there was a lot of controversy with me and my little plastic yellow cup.
Oh, there was.
Anyway, moving on from plastic yellow cups and the difficulty of peeing. It's often difficult to pee when you've got an infectious disease, isn't it?
Story number two. Oh my God.
It's a story in Canada, and it's a guy called Randolph Gibbons, and it's got to Supreme Court stage in Canada. He's trying to get £200,000 back from his insurance company because he actually had unprotected sex, had a little accident, contracted herpes, and ended up quadriplegic. He's no legs. He's no use of his legs. The herpes actually destroyed his spine and now he can't walk. And he's claiming that this was an accident. But his insurance company saying it wasn't an accident. What? He should have known the risks. And wait to hear this. The Supreme Court last year decided that he could possibly envisage that having unprotected sex would make him have no use of his legs. And they're saying, if you have unprotected sex, it's hardly like going on a motorway in busy traffic, playing Russian roulette, or balancing on the edge of a ledge and falling off. Now, I don't know how that compares to having unprotected sex, but basically what they're saying is this guy wasn't silly because he wasn't in the middle of a motorway in busy traffic.
I don't know about you, but I
last tried to have sex in that environment a very long time ago, and it was disastrous, it's true.
Mikey, I love the story, but could you say quadriplegic again for us?
Come on.
I've been practicing this all week. Quadriplegic.
Hooray, well done.
Moving on to the next story.
Oh, please.
Train assistants, woeful as ever.
Well, it's a group called Passenger Focus, and it was disabled mystery shoppers, and they tried out the assistance transport service. You know, phoning 24 hours in advance.
That sounds very Scooby-Doo. What's a mystery shopper?
I don't know. I mean, a mystery shopper is...
Do they arrive in a van?
Yeah. Probably a disabled person turning up in a wheelchair.
Guide dog in tow
as well. In fact, have you ever seen a disabled person with a wheelchair and a guide dog?
No, I don't believe I've ever.
No, assistance dogs. Oh, God, yes.
So basically, blind you turn wheelies. Up and you phone assistance, and you know, I do not do this. You phone up and phone assistance, and they come with a wheelchair and a little van. And I don't do wheelchairs in vans. I've nothing against people in wheelchairs, but I don't like that little van. I just like an arm to guide me to the train service. But believe it or not, a third of all disabled people that have booked travel assistance are left stranded at the platforms. And under a half are really not satisfied that this system is adequate. So wait till you hear this. The Association of Passenger Transport Operators are basically saying the answer is monitoring, more monitoring, training for staff, and more communication.
No.
I find if you are totally blind, say I get dropped off at a station in a taxi, then you're basically left to find the assistance. Mm-hmm. I think it was all electronic and you could phone somebody or they knew you were there and you knew where you were. I think it is all communication. I don't know if you have any bad experiences, Liz and Matt, travelling, booking assistance.
Liz is bound to have had loads, but I have to disagree with you here, Mikey. I actually think what the answer is to sue the damn train company. Sue them for breaching the Disability Discrimination Act.
Once enough people have brought,
whether they're unsuccessful or not, cases to court, it'll highlight the situation and it'll just buck their ideas up.
But it's all the hassle. I mean, I've wrote in complaining before and you never hear about it, and then you need to take out your own case in the civil court.
When all you want to do is get off the train.
Yeah,
I mean, you
need,
know what I mean?
You need to take 3 years out of your life to
you
do that.
Yeah, but like, it is scary. If you're getting off at a place and that's not where the train's stopping, you know, so you've got minutes and they're not there. It's terrifying.
Well,
I mean,
I had to maybe book assistance to get me down to London, and in 10 minutes to get between Birmingham and another station, there's no way I was going to meet that. I mean, the guy would still... I'd still be waiting in the platform, yeah, and I would miss my connection.
It's despicable. British train services, buck your ideas up.
Buck. I've got little buck. Rabbit ears.
The
buck,
rabbit
I like
says
it much.
Buck it up. Yeah. Now, OK, this is a bit bizarre. The next news story, Mikey. The blind and mobility impaired.
Oh, they want everything now.
Well, they do want everything. I want everything. It's a difference between £17 a week and £47 a week. Would you not like an extra 20? Matt, you get high rate mobility, I'm sure. So do you, Liz.
I don't get any mobility.
OK, but explain what this is about. So this is about disability living allowance,
It's about disability living allowance. It's about blind people currently getting rollate mobility. I can't even speak. I sound like Dwonathan Voss. It's about
quadriplegia. Quadriplegia.
I don't remember that person. Who's he?
Dwonathan Voss.
No, still can't remember. Can't remember. Listen, mate, you got legs. You can walk. What's the problem?
The problem is that, I can walk, and that's what the government's saying. I can walk. But people, I'm not trying to say that people in wheelchairs, I'm not against them, but they can get high rate mobility and then they can drive in their cars.
I know.
Whereas blind people are stuck in their own homes and they can't go out the door because they can't get this extra cash for taxis. It's an extra £29 a week. That's all we're asking for.
Can you not feel your way down the walls like Roger Daltrey did in Tommy?
And you can bang into lampposts and you can get knocked down for an extra £29 a week. I met MPs. Apparently it's all got stuck up in Treasury. The big row is bailing out the banks millions of pounds.
Mikey, obviously you feel passionate about this. You went to a lobby at Parliament, yeah?
I did go to a lobby in Parliament with 1,500 other blind and disabled people. I don't think it'll be this side of Christmas. I don't even think it'll be next year.
Haven't they got the banks to bail out first, though?
They've got the banks to bail out, but apparently it's a guarantee, according to John McFall, MP, head of the Treasury Committee. It'll not actually cost the taxpayer anything. We're only asking for £30 million. Wait till you hear this. Somebody said, if the bankers are out rattling the cans for money, would they get any money? But disabled people do, blind people do, so who has got the public sympathy?
Wow.
That's a place to end. Wow.
Well
Michael
Hughes...
Well, good luck with your campaign.
You're always one to sit on the fence, aren't you?
Something I've not been accused of sitting on the fence here in the Big Brother house. I've got a voice and I've got the look. I was speaking to MPs. I've got a taste for it. I was at Westminster. I am going to go into politics. All I need to do is pick a party, pick a seat, and Bob's your uncle.
Well, if we want more, we can hear more on Insight Radio. That's where you're normally broadcasting, Mikey, yeah?
It's Straight Talking with Mikey Hughes. It's on a Friday night, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Insight Radio. .co.uk. And if you miss that, I'll be putting selected extracts on my own website. Keep it simple. It's MikeyHughes.com.
Mikey, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Hop off now. Did you get it?
Oh, very good.
Have you got any carrots? Because I'm fed up with those crisps.
This is the Ouch podcast from the BBC in London.
With us on the line is the star of TV's Breaking Bad. It's RJ Mitty. How are you doing, RJ?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, thank you very much.
We are well. Great to have you.
And good.
Now, we've been talking about Albuquerque, which is where you come from. But to most British people, the reason I sang it is because it comes from an 80s pop song. And we want to know, what's it like, Albuquerque? What's it like?
It's nice. Big mountains, beautiful. It's like a lot of desert. If you just take the freeway about half a mile out, you'll hit the desert.
Right in the middle of the desert. And that's where you're filming? That's where you're filming the series?
Yeah, we're We have a studio by the airport out here that's about 10 minutes out of Albuquerque, and we have the sound stage there, and we have all the entire house there, and plus about 2 hours from that we go out, and that's where we cook Crystal.
Well, let's explain the break.
This is weird. We better explain the program now because it's sounding a bit weird.
Well, Breaking Bad is a gritty US drama currently showing on the FX channel in the UK. RJ plays Walter White Jr., a smart aleck teenager with cerebral palsy whose father's dying of cancer. His father's a former chemistry teacher and he deals in crystal meth in order to fund his ongoing chemo and to look after his family. Walter's regularly seen getting into all sorts of schoolboy scrapes. So here we've got a clip of RJ as Walter trying on some trousers in the changing room of a clothes store.
Are you sure you don't want to get the, like, a different kind, like, you know, the skinny jeans? Because those are really supposed to be in style now. The skaters wear them.
Do I look like a skater?
All right.
Mom, that's my big boy pants. Mom, could you zip up?
After that, what happens? What happens in that clip after they tease you, RJ?
My dad comes and beats the crap out of that dude. I mean, that part takes place in just a store where I'm trying on clothes, and this dude starts making fun of me, and just from there, just my dad can't handle it anymore. I've been getting made fun of by this jerk, and my dad comes around and just beats the dude up.
Wow.
Yeah.
In real life, I don't know what your parental background is like. Are your parents still around?
Oh, yeah. Actually, my mom is in the sound studio right now.
Hey, RJ, Mom.
Hello, Mom.
I hope you're proud of your boy. But listen, what would you have done if that had happened in real life? If your dad had gone up and stamped on the leg of a teaser?
Would your dad do that? Would your real dad do that?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure. That stuff doesn't really bother me because I just say they're jealous because I got a real job.
Obviously, for the listeners, nice one. For the listeners, obviously RJ has cerebral palsy, like the character Walter that he portrays. Now,
yes. Yeah, but which I think is fascinating, RJ. What we like to call crip up a bit, don't you? You have to act more disabled.
Yes, I have a very mild case of cerebral palsy, and the character has a more severe.
So what do you have to do?
You might get an Oscar.
For the character role, I have to I overcomed a lot of stuff. They said I'd be in crutches or I'd still be in braces. Well, like 2 years ago, I just had enough of that, so I got out of that. And when this role came up, I had to relearn a lot of that.
So you'd thrown away the crutches in real life. Now you've got them on in the show, yeah?
Yeah, I deprogressed.
You regressed. You've gone back.
I regressed.
Hey, RJ, are there any other impairments you fancy having a go at? I'm just joking. Now, younger disabled people, it's clear, are crying out for a disabled role model on dramatic television. I mean, really, we don't get examples of this. So, I mean, what you're doing is quite a rare thing. I mean, Gideon, you're with us.
Hello.
And that's your life being portrayed. That's your early life, in a way, kind of being portrayed. How do you feel about it?
Oh, it's extraordinary. I've been gripped to the show. I've just never seen something like that. I've never seen just an ordinary guy with cerebral palsy, a teenager, doing regular stuff, going out and trying to drink and hanging out. And those experiences, that's just amazing to see on regular TV. You know, quite often these disabled characters come in and just do a small part or they're just an extra. But here, this guy, he's a teenager, you know, and he's one of the main characters. It's really great to see.
That's the effect you're having on some people, RJ. Do you find that a fun responsibility or what?
I find it an honour that I can affect so many people by just me being in this great show. It's a real honour to be able to just go and do what I love and really show people about CP and be a role model to some people, I guess.
It's like, you know, Gideon's our web assistant researcher on Ouch, and you're a role model to him. Would you rather be a role model or a heartthrob?
Yeah, that's a hard one. Is there a chance for both?
How unlike
a good-looking role model. I think you probably fulfill that. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, apparently the word on the streets is that you're a bit hot and the ladies on set are keen on you. So you're obviously having that kind of effect. When you get a bit older, do you think your television and film career is going to develop and you'll end up being, you know, possibly the first ever disability heartthrob?
Maybe. You never know.
Because before this, you've done... What other shows you've done? You did Grey's Anatomy, I read about that, yeah?
Yeah, I did a small part, but really, I haven't... I just actually kind of started acting like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I worked on Hannah Montana and some stuff like that, but this is mainly... Breaking Bad is my main role, pretty much.
And, you know what? We've been sitting here, and I've got no idea. What does Breaking Bad mean?
What does it refer to? Is it something to do with...
Breaking Bad. I've heard that question phrased in many directions, and it always means the same thing. It's when someone can't... When a decent person can't take it anymore, they just kind of turn and go the opposite direction.
So this is about your dad, because your dad in the show is a teacher, he's a chemistry teacher, and he decides to start making crystal meth to make a bit of money.
What is crystal meth?
Crystal meth is like a hard drug. It messes with the mind, your teeth, your body. It's like one of the worst. I apparently look at it as like one of the worst drugs out there.
Have you tried it? No, sorry.
I haven't.
Liz, thank you very much.
I don't want to mess around with that stuff.
No, of course. No.
No.
And I'm in school and I have to actually use my brain, so.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult when you've fried it, isn't it? Hey, what's it like at school, mate? Now that you're the film star, do you get bullied?
Yeah.
Here comes Mr. Big Film Star, do they say when you come in? Or are they happy for you?
No, actually, the way I do school, it's kind of like a homework. It's kind of like homeschool. Personally, I don't like school, but you have to do it if you want to get through life, so pretty much I put up with it.
And what subjects are you doing at the moment?
English, science, basic geometry.
Always useful for an actor.
Yes.
You've got to know the right angles, yeah?
Mm. Yeah, chemicals, more...
Good for the crystal meth.
Yes. What's ironic is when I'm on set and they're off, I'll go to Brian and just say, here's my science. You want to do it for me? Because it's pretty much all the basic chemicals in the table elements.
Wow.
That's Brian. Brian Cranston plays your dad in the show.
Yes.
Right?
He plays Walter White.
Is the show going down well in the States?
Actually, it is. I don't know, but we got two Emmys and
wow, congratulations.
It's going well then. Are you filming the second series now then?
Actually, I am right now. I'm doing that actually as we speak. This is like my first week off.
RJ Mitty, thank you so much for talking to us.
Oh, I'm glad let me on.
Listeners, if you want to catch Breaking Bad, it's on the FX channel Sundays at 10 p.m. That's channel 164 on Sky, channel 179 on Virgin Media, and channel 10 on Tiscali TV. RJ, goodbye.
Thank you so much.
All right. I hope y'all have a good day.
bbc.co.uk/out. Ow! Now it's time for Vegetable.
Podcast, studio, microphone, telephone, contestant, quiz, chat, bit of lemon, sugar, done.
Was that your Gordon Ramsay impression?
Well, yeah. Okay. Listen, I'm a vegetarian. I don't like impersonating meat eaters who hate vegetarians.
It's fine, okay. Yeah, it's the monthly quiz where we guess what's up with the caller on the line. And this month's caller is Dean in Essex. Hello, Essex boy.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a Welsh immigrant exiled to Essex, though.
My really? Word, that must be a terrifying experience.
for Essex?
Pardon?
For Essex, it must be terrifying.
Oh, they're slowly adjusting to me, but it is taking time.
Essex girls and Welsh boys, what a perfect mix.
what do you... what do you do down there in Essex, Dean?
Well, I started off studying for a degree in chemistry and quantum mechanics.
Okay.
And now I make dresses for men.
Make dresses for men?
What?
Do you do well at panto season?
I do indeed. I'm a drag queen and transvestite costumer.
Hey, fantastic.
What a brilliant mix of things to be. Okay. And wow. What do you think's in this coming next winter season?
At the moment, it's definitely faux-coloured camouflage. Red camouflage, blue camouflage, it's everywhere.
Loving it. And on the issue of fur, faux or real?
I would always go for artificial fake fur.
Good lad.
You answered
However,
the right thing.
Next year, I am doing a fur wedding dress for a furry wedding in America.
It sounds a bit pervy.
It's very.
Shall we move on?
I don't want to know. No, how on earth did you go from doing chemistry to making men's frocks?
You'd be amazed at the overlap. basically, I was doing this degree in chemistry, and for reasons which I can't go into because it'll spoil the quiz,
okay.
I kept on having accidents. I brought a whole new meaning to the term students dropping acid. In my case, it was nitric acid everywhere.
Oops, sorry.
Oh, I decided it'd be safer if I left.
But how many people did you scar forever?
I caused £6 million worth of damage.
Wow. That's impressive.
They didn't pick me up for that because we were very well insured.
Well, hold on. Was it like the alien's blood? It actually melted through the floor, the nitric acid?
Yeah, that'd be HF, and it was something like that, yes.
What did you damage?
How did you do £6 million worth?
Well, it was a chain reaction. They foolishly let me experiment next to the solvent cupboard where all the highly flammable stuff was.
My God, this is
so ridiculous. I went off for a tea break, and I came back, and I found the fire brigade wouldn't go in there because they didn't know exactly what was in it. They just let the place burn down.
Wow.
It was just deemed safer for everyone concerned.
Gosh, I'm struck dumb, Liz. How about you?
Struck dumb? What are you... Struck dumb?
Sorry, I'm momentarily incapacitated in conversational department.
I now have speech impairment, yes. Come on, let's have the rules.
Vegetable, vegetable, or vegetable is a clever disability interpretation of the parlour game Animal, Vegetable, or Mineral. In the game, the two hosts of the Ouch podcast have 90 seconds to guess what is wrong with the disabled caller on the line by asking a series of fiendishly intelligent questions. The caller must answer only yes or no. It is both classic and therapeutic.
To take part in the intrusive and unpleasant game, the rules clearly state you have to be disabled. Dean, are you disabled?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
OK, 90 seconds of the clock. Your time starts now.
OK, do you have strong hands?
Yes.
Do you have large shoulders?
Yes.
Do you have arthritis, both osteo and rheumatoid?
Yes.
Do you have a benign growth on your spine?
Yes.
Do you have inflammation of the upper spine?
Yes.
Hold on. Stop the music. Stop the music.
Why? We were doing so well.
Yes, we were suspiciously well, Liz.
Okay, we have to come clean. Honestly, we normally never know what is wrong with the caller, but this time the producer and the researchers and everyone that works in it sent us the whole script and the production notes.
The blind producer and blind assistant producer managed to let us have all the production notes.
We even have your medical notes. We know that much about you now.
How did you lift them up?
That's true.
Have we missed anything?
Spine bifida.
Okay, tick.
Biffo.
And brain damage.
Oh, that wasn't down it. What about clubfoot?
Oh, yeah, and the vertical talpus.
Yeah, we like that. We like that one as well. So, actually, had we not have known, I think we would have guessed it because you've got so much wrong with you, Dean.
Well, the plan was to keep you going, but it would have been even funnier seeing as we were chatting only 2 weeks ago in Essex.
What? Hold on a second.
It would have been embarrassing for Liz if she didn't actually clock any of it.
You mean you two have met before?
I only knew when reading your notes, yes. When it said you wore flamboyant waistcoats, I thought, I've met you at a gig. This makes perfect sense.
So hold on a sec.
I offered to make you custom-sized pasties.
Oh, God, hold on a sec, Dean. What gig did you see of Liz and what was she doing?
Sit-down comedy at the Essex Funny Farm.
Was she funny?
Oh, hysterical.
Right, it was a really good night, wasn't it?
She actually started into a set and it was even better then.
Oh, this guy's good.
Everyone's a comic.
What was her best line?
I think the opening line of, I know what you're all thinking, Michael Jackson's let himself go a bit.
That's good, Liz.
Thank you.
Glad I gave you that one.
You can have that for your new show.
No. Don't actually have any good jokes in my show. Dean, what have we got to give him? Like 15 mugs or something?
We are so sorry, but it couldn't have happened to a better guy with a longer list of conditions.
And are you happy with your life, Dean?
Ecstatic. Wouldn't change a thing.
Are you hoping for any more impairments as you go through
life? I'm hoping to get old enough to get a femur. I mean, old age is the one I'm really going for.
I want to know, Dean, because it says in the notes that we had, your hands are so strong from using sticks all your life that you crushed beakers with acid in them when you worked in the labs.
Is that what happened then?
That was one part of it. I've gone through four mobile phones as well.
You're like the Incredible Hulk of
the
disability
world. Your beaker-crushing hands.
The thing was, we thought it'd be fine because, you know, they make you wear very thick gloves and acid doesn't react with the rubber we were using. But we forgot that it was boiling acid, which melted through the gloves, and then the acid got on my skin.
But this is horrific.
I love it.
And it did it. Is that why you've got a club foot? Because it dripped onto your foot and made it clubby.
No, that was just a really bad birth defect.
Okay, so the producers just said end on a high. What are we going to do?
Yeah, birth defects are always good to end on.
Good old birth defects.
Good old birth defects. Have you had the one?
The Ouch Podcast.
You know what? I'm finding money a terrible, terrible problem at the moment, Liz.
How are you being affected by the credit crunch?
Well, just terribly, terribly. I'll tell you why in no uncertain terms.
Are you being serious?
No, I am actually.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to know?
Yeah, no, but I was thinking this was a light fruit number about, you know, everyone's talking about it, so...
Well,
we've got to, really.
What I'm finding is, as an entertainer, the high-end stuff that you do that's 20 quid a ticket, no one's coming, but they're still coming to the £5 shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to do a lot more of the low-down dirty stuff. That seems to be working more.
I'm quite happy.
You would be. You're a comedian.
No.
You don't do highbrow.
Oh, no, but really, because I think the credit card, I think it's a great leveller, isn't it?
In what way,
it's bringing everybody down to poverty
levels. In which respect, Elizabeth?
It's true. I've just told you.
It brings everyone down to poverty levels.
Yes. Which a lot of disabled people experience.
Ah, okay.
See?
Great.
So, you know, not only are a lot of disabled people going to be struggling, but now everybody else is at the same level.
Do you think there'll be more solidarity?
No, not at all.
Or do you think people will be stabbing each other in the back?
Most probably for every bit of money.
Has it affected you?
Has it affected me?
No, how has it affected you?
Things are costing more. Of course they are. Bills. My gas bill doubled.
Mm. My gas bill... not really double, because I got solar panels 4 years ago. And all my neighbours who laughed with their mocking sneers when we went, oh, have you got solar panels? How much did they cost? £5,000? Oh, that's rather a lot, isn't it? Huh. Who's laughing now? That's what I want to know.
I think you'll find it's me. Have you made up your
£5,000? No, I'm on the...
I'm just checking.
I will,
checking.
You know, in by 2012...
Who's laughing now? When you'll have to replace them for new ones. They'll have just paid for themselves. Well done.
What I have found, Liz, though, is that I donate to about 4 different animal charities.
Do you?
Yeah, and I4, Animal Aid, League Against Cruel Sports, and one of the ones I can't remember.
Thank you for the name checks.
And what I found is I usually give like a £20 check each a month to them. And at the moment...
Rockefeller!
Point is, I'm actually not donating to them now, and sometimes it's like a fiver instead of
so
20.
So are more animals dying now?
Because of me and my selfishness.
Yes, but so you can eat.
That's how it's affecting me in real terms, I suppose. So, charitable donations. Hold on a minute. What charities do you bring?
Oh, I don't give to any.
Why not? Oh, you old militant.
Absolutely.
You are. You're being militant, Liz.
No, I am. I am.
Gideon, but what charities do you give to? Don't lie.
Do you give to any?
Not really.
No. No.
Let's. And while we're there, Emma, you're looking very smiley.
Emma.
You know.
No, you're she's shaking her head.
She's shaking her head.
And man who follows me round. Are you Phil?
Jeff.
No, man who follows
bunch
me round.
Bunch of BBC tight asses, the lot of you.
Do you get shopping the other day? Oh, it wasn't shopping because obviously there's a credit crunch. But I was not shopping the other day in a shopping area. And they had the chuggers.
The chuggers?
The chuggers.
What are the chuggers?
Charity muggers. See what they did there? Chuggers.
Oh.
You know the people that are in the street and kind of with the clipboards?
Well,
and the
I've seen them, but they never approach me.
No, they don't. That's what I was going to say.
Okay, well, they avoid cripples.
Absolutely. I'm like a beacon of, just ignore me, hello. They don't, they'll stop my PA. Always they will want to stop the PA. Because I think most PAs have that look of, oh, bless them, they're going to be a bit sort of, you know, a bit left wing, they'll give some money, really. It's just
on the wages you give them.
And obviously nobody in the box over there does, not just me. No, the access
workers
here. I actually
find this, anyone with a clipboard, even people who take those strangely homey-looking, wifey, middle-aged women that you find in shopping precincts who are doing surveys, they always ignore me as well.
No, they do me.
In fact, even the annoying young people who are giving away free shampoo on Victoria Station, they ignore me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Have you ever been chugged? Have you ever committed suicide?
I've almost killed myself trying to chug.
Can I just explain that? Okay, when we're doing the podcast, right, we have headphones on. They're called cans, apparently.
Oh,
I don't understand why.
So
no, I don't know why. Right, and there's a glass wall between us and the producer and a whole cast of thousands, access workers and studio manager and all that. They're through there, right? And every now and then we get the producer, which is Damon, talking to us, and he just said, "Can you segue nicely from charity and being chugged into suicide now, Liz?" Now, other than, have you been chugged? Have you committed suicide? I think that's perfectly reasonable.
I've never chugged, and it gets me so depressed, Liz, that when I go home, I want to commit suicide. Suicide!
So, no. Okay.
It's nowhere of segueing that in properly, is
it's
there?
It's not really
working.
Should
we
working,
just go, let's stop it? Talking about that. Now let's talk about suicide. Assisted suicide is big in the news again, isn't it, Liz? It's once again come round to bash us over the collective disability head with its blanket portrayal of the sort of... I mean, of course they should commit suicide.
Oh, man,
attitude.
I've been looking like at all the news stories because this young guy, Daniel James, went to Switzerland.
The rugby player.
Rugby player guy, yeah. Went to Switzerland to end his life, OK? And it's just... looking through the news and the newspapers, and it's the way that they report it, okay? You know, we had to help our paralysed son die, and that, right? And then anguish of parents quizzed by police after taking crippled rugby player to suicide clinic. Yeah.
Now, let's just... So, he became a wheelchair user after a rugby accident of some sort, right?
Yeah.
And it was that a wheelchair using a stable condition, or was it a degenerative one? I mean, what
stable.
Was
I mean, basically, the guy was very fit. Obviously, he played for like school teams and student teams and the youth teams.
Yeah,
was very, very good. And he became disabled last year. So we're talking really recently. It was in 2007.
Wow.
And he so, you know, hated being him and being a disabled person. And you know, his mum says here he couldn't walk. He had no hand function. Was in pain. He was incontinent. Had uncontrollable spasms. And needed 24-hour care. So, okay, that you know, the guy didn't have movement from the neck down. He needed a lot of assistance.
Yeah.
And that, he just said, I don't want to live any kind of second-class, as a second-class citizen.
Yeah. And, of course, stop me if I'm not talking on your behalf, but I think I'm going to come straight to what I see as the crux of this matter, is that, of course, there's a huge amount of grief that goes on when you're grieving for aspects of your condition that you don't have anymore. There are seven stages of grief. Number two is anger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you actually get through to acceptance if you leave it long enough. The point is, other disabled people, were they allowed near him? Was he shown any role models of people who've learnt to live with their condition and gone on to lead full and fruitful lives? Like many of the people I've met with similar impairments.
In the UK, it is legal to commit suicide. It's illegal for somebody to assist you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens is what hits the headlines usually is when a disabled person, usually who has an impairment where they're degenerative, they're getting worse. MS or motor neuron, they're the ones that you often hear about, cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
They want the option of killing themselves, but they don't actually have the mobility to do it. Okay. Now, so one of the interesting things is, you know, is it like an equal ops issue? Because some people are campaigning to say, actually, if you believe in the right to commit suicide, just because you can't physically do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked before on this show about lots of things that you can't physically do, whether it's having sex or, you know, or rude things or not rude things or whatever, natural things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, so does everybody have that right, even if you can't do it yourself, to commit suicide? Because the problem is, if somebody helps you, then they could be up for aiding and abetting. And that's where the trouble is.
Yeah.
And that's why over 100 people to date have gone over to this place in Switzerland called Dignitas. And that's what's going on.
Dignitas.
Yeah.
Gosh, really, really complicated this, isn't it? Because I personally believe in individual freedom. And if I deemed that I wanted to take my life, I would demand the right to do it. However, I'm totally of the opinion, and I've looked into all the facts, but it very much seems to me that this person was just, or this family, rather, were isolated in this man's impairment and not given an opportunity to see that, you know, with rehabilitation and physio and all the, you know, getting used in the social model of disability, and 5 years down the line, he might be a fully functioning person again.
It's like, I think in you know, normally I would probably go, You know what? Yes, having the same rights as everybody else, absolutely. The problem is whenever this is reported and wherever we hear about this, the stories are so given in that, you know, well, if you needed 24-hour assistance and your life had changed that much, wouldn't you want that?
Why don't they ask Stephen Hawking or somebody, for example, off the top of my head, and what do you think about this? Because you never get asked another disabled person's point of view on this.
No. I mean, what was scary for me, I was reading... I think, let me just have a look. It's the Mail Online and the Times Online. Okay,
so two very well-known and slightly right-wing papers in Britain.
And after they had the news story, they then have comments, okay?
Yeah.
And the comments, I think the comments really are the things that upset me most, because they're like, you know, I can only weep for this poor family. I can't believe that they could possibly face prosecution.
Comments from the website users.
Yeah, okay. Comments from website users. So just your average person on the street, I guess.
Well, no, your average non-disabled person who has no disabled friends on the street,
yeah.
I would suggest.
And saying, you know, maybe I've got, some of them are saying, I've got children. Others are saying, you know, I just don't feel any shame that you know, whatever. But just, I think the person is really brave for going abroad and and following this through. Other people saying, you know, absolutely, if that was me, this is what I'd want. And what scares me, you know, away from the issue of whether we think it should be legalized or not, is that people so view disability as so negative,
yeah,
that, you know, they inevitably think that's what we want and that's what they'd want. It's, oh my, I don't know how we balance that. We're meant to be doing a balanced piece on this now.
We're rebalancing.
It's hard,
this.
Isn't it?
Once again, as with the Ashley X story,
yeah,
we're rebalancing because all of the rest of the press and media are like, well, of course you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just a small voice saying, hold on a minute, have you ever thought of like not doing it? I mean, it really gets me down, this one, because it's like, it's a monument, it's like a tsunami of opinion. With, you know, we're not even, I mean, it's just so imbalanced, I think.
That's why there's a guy, I was reading a piece about a guy who has actually supported people to die. He's actually gone with them to Switzerland. And he says, though, that he doesn't want the law to be changed in the UK. Because he said he really worries about this thing that you often hear called the slippery slope. Because in the past, it's always been people who've been getting worse with their degenerative conditions,
yeah,
as we said.
Yeah.
But now, you know, with this young guy, he's just a disabled person.
Also, you know, it would be in bad taste not to have talked about this without saying, Daniel, rest in peace. Because obviously, you know, we want that to happen, but...
And obviously a difficult, you know, that, yeah, that change, as you're saying, all those changes that happened to somebody becoming disabled. I think that it was on the Ouch message board, there's been some great stuff on this. You know, people saying this whole thing about second-class citizens, I think what people need to understand is we're not second-class ourselves. It's the way that we're treated are, and unfortunately, I just think...
Yeah, almost as if the mainstream culture need a reminder as to what the social model of disability means. Ridiculous that we're having to explain it in 2008, but mind you,
what?
It does make me wonder why I was being looked at so weirdly when I was in Switzerland recently.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were just smiling at me. They were like, oh, welcome, you've come to end it all. How sensible.
You didn't actually have any death by chocolate, did you?
No, and funnily enough, the hotel didn't give me any breakfast. Probably thought I needed to be nil by mouth.
Dry your eyes and listen in.
Matt Fraser.
Quadriplegic.
Listeners, you know we play out with disability music, yeah? With crippled sounds at the end of every podcast. But today we're going to talk about them in the programme because
No, we are.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah, I thought you were telling me I got it wrong again. No, because we've got, along with his friend, Leroy Moore on the line from California.
Hey!
Phew! I'm worried there. Hey, Leroy, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
And you're joined in the studio by Vivi Girl.
Yeah, a big shout out across the planet.
Oh, this is Vivi Girl. Hello, it's very early for you guys, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What is the time in California right now? What is the time?
It's 7:15.
Good morning, sunshine. Ain't no sunshine, though.
So we're actually talking to the Black Cripple and Crew from the new Black Cripple and Crew radio show, featuring Vivi Girl from the Poor News Network and Mountain Man. Oh, is Mountain Man there?
No. He's still in bed.
He's in bed.
Yes, he is.
Some Mountain Man.
Jeez. He's hibernating.
So your show used to be on pirate radio, but the station had to move, yeah, and it became difficult. And so now you're online. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Now we're online and you can stream, you know, you can listen to it. It's going to start November 16th.
So what's the Black Cripple and Crew radio show? What's it about? Tell us more.
It's called Crip Hop. And what it does is we showcase artists, musicians, mostly from the disabled community around the world. We're all about making it local and global.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be on alltalkradio.net/Crip Hop. And it's basically going to be bringing music that's seldomly heard, if not heard at all, in the mainstream media, and a lot of art out there and a lot of good music happening. We're going to bring that to you.
Well, that's great news. I mean, obviously, a lot of us know that there's a huge family of disabled musicians out there that most people never get to hear. So you're going to be like showcasing some of their talents, yeah?
That's right. And then, like Viz said, you know, all over the world, we have artists from South Africa, from Germany, you know.
So like who, Leroy? Who have you got?
Oh, my God. We got Binky. Binky, he's from Germany. He does handicap artwork in Germany. It's a business that he does with other people with disabilities around music and art.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to showcase him. He did a song for our radio show, so we're going to showcase him. There's people in South Africa. We got people in Spain like Jack.
England.
Who have you got from England?
DJ Cripple.
Yeah, DJ Cripple.
We have a brilliant song on Walmart.
Also, because I've got the notes here, you've got Hush, Fizo, Cripple Crew, Rob the Noise, Temple, King Snyder, B-Sick, Dirty Wick, Miss Money. I mean, that's a lot of people. Is it all hip-hop, though?
No, it's mostly hip-hop, but no, we're going to play some old blues because there's, you know, disabled blues singers. They're going to play hard rock.
Some techno, all kind of stuff, house. Experimental.
Now, what about you, Vivica? What's your background, and how did you come to this project with Leroy?
Well, my background, I got a bit of a background. I used to live in England for 4 years, and I was in the music business for a minute with a group called Rhythm Asylum. In 1989, we had a hit called Coltrane out of the UK and Germany. Years later, I came back to the United States, and I injured myself on a job where I broke my knee, and life just kind of went bad for me for a while physically. Uh-huh. And having to rehabilitate and being disabled for some time. And then I got involved with a lot of social justice work out here in California. I got involved with Poor News Network, Poor Magazine, which is a brilliant, brilliant news, alternative news program that we have here in San Francisco, which is all about real media that's never heard. And with Poor Magazine, I met Leroy, and Leroy and I got together, and with my background and Leroy's background, we linked it up, and we, you know, brought together this radio show, and we were doing pirate radio this whole summer, you know, featuring the artists and stuff with the Crip Hop Project. And now we're going to be going online and really, you know, making it smooth and putting it out there to the world.
So how long have you been working together? How long's the show been going?
Yeah, the show's been going on for almost a year and
almost
a half.
Almost a year, yeah. Almost a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
But was it cool being on pirate radio? That sounds kind of like a renegade thing to do.
it was really cool.
Pretty renegade.
It was like, you know, very, very hands-on. You know,
duct tape.
What for?
Microphones coming apart and stuff like that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that sounds familiar.
It was pretty rough and ready then.
So what would we do? Download one of your programs?
Yeah, you can download it. They're going to have a big archive, so you can download it. You can go and listen to it. It's alltalkradio.net/Crip Hop. The page is going to be up, hopefully, you know, close to the first show.
And that's K-R-I-P, not C-R-I-P. Yeah. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of K's. Luckily, two and not three.
Big time.
Thank goodness.
Bro. Yeah. When's the first one on, guys?
The first one's going to air November 16th. So I don't know what time yet, but it's going to air November 16th.
And from then, it's the first and the third Sunday mornings of every month, yeah?
Yeah.
So we can get it.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. And listeners to the podcast, if you're a buddy musician doing a bit of Crip Hop or protest music, then I guess, guys, am I right? They can proffer their music to you and you might broadcast it?
Send it your way?
Oh, yes, please.
That's right, yeah. You can email it to quiphopproject at yahoo.com.
Well, all of that will be put onto the website.
Have that on the website. So Black, Cripple and the crew, thank you so much for joining us in this early hours in California.
Oh, yeah.
And good early luck with hours. The first show.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, guys, and well done. We've needed this kind of thing for a long time.
Long time coming.
It's coming live and direct for twice a month, and we're going to bring it to you.
Oh, nice people. Aren't they nice people?
Yeah, I want to listen. Are you?
Absolutely.
Really want to listen.
Listen, I listened to the first Crip Hop tape back when it was actually a mixed tape that Leroy was doing. Really good stuff, you know. And she sounds pretty cool as well.
Yeah, no, she does. Fantastic. Well, you know what?
What?
It's the end.
No, not
again. It is the end of Podcast 33 for November 2008. Wow. Thanks to guests. We had RJ Mitty, we had Leroy Moore, Mikey Hughes, and the production team, of course, Damon Rose, Emma Tracy, Gideon Goldberg, and Joe Hutton. We're back in December for a special Christmas podcast. Listen out for it.
So we're playing out this month with a track from New South Wales band, that's a place in Australia, not in Wales, called MSG. MSG are Angela James, Matthew Damon, Leanne Butt, Aaron Doherty, Alicia Boyd and Dolphazoid. That's a name I like very much. The band are part of the Tralala Blip collective of disabled musicians.
Their first compilation CD, Soundbeam Sessions Volume 1, was launched in September this year, and it's getting national radio play on ABC's Triple J FM. Find out more about them on their web space. Oh yes, myspace.com/Tralala Blip, which we'll link to from our site, because I might have put one too many L's in there. I know. This is the song Ice Cream Truck. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Can I have a lemon ice?
Quadriplegic.